Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another TED Talk show today. Good morning, Daddy. Good morning, sir. Good morning, all our pastors. Our talk show today is on harnessing social power for life expression in an intellectually driven society. And we have some of our guests to answer some questions to enlighten us. I just want us to pay attention, you know, sit properly and pay attention today, because I know we'll be greatly blessed. So can we just welcome, you know, our pastor, Pastor Lydia Akazwe. Let us appreciate her. Thank you, mommy. Please let us keep clapping. Let us appreciate her well. Thank you, mommy. Can we also welcome our pastor, the lead pastor of Akure Church, Akure Assembly, Pastor Festus Akinlelo. You are welcome, sir. Please let us clap very well. Let us keep clapping. Thank you. Thank you. Can we also welcome our mommy, Mrs. Oluwajano? Can we clap? Please let us appreciate her as she's coming. Thank you so much, mommy. Good morning. Good morning, mommy. Good morning, pastor. Thank you so much. Okay, so, you know, we have been taught in the house about social power, you know, intellectual power. And, you know, one of the major cogent points from we understanding intellectual power is it's something to be acknowledged. You know, we must not look away from it. We must acknowledge it, you know, with wisdom. You know, and so we just want to know today, we want to ask the various expressions of the intellectual man. And this question will be directed to Pastor Lydia. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. And we are welcome to the talk show this morning. Thank you for having me here. I want to say good morning to our daddy, our mommy, and all our pastors. Can we appreciate them again? And it's nice being in the house with Pastor Festus and Mommy OJ. Hallelujah. So the various expressions of intellectualism in man. Man is essentially, like Daddy has always taught us, is a spirit, but has a soul and lives in a body. Though man is not essential or, first of all, solely an intellectual being, does not mean God has not given him intellect. That is the ability to think and bring solution to issues. So the intellectual part of man does not negate the gospel, or the gospel does not negate our intellect, not at all. In fact, the gospel should give breath of life to our intellect. So the various expressions of intellectualism in man can rate from providing solutions, innovations, giving inventions, and when invention is sourced from providing solution to issues around living or making life easier, then man has the ability to put pressure on his mind to provide solution. You know, for me, one of the highlights of this teaching was the table that Daddy shattered for me when he said, you know, before we used to think innovation started from the fallen man. Personally, I thought innovation started when man fell, you know, when the sons of Cain began to invent. But when we are taught that for Abel to bring his offering, not with his hands, he had to think of a way to do that. He had to put his mind into inventing something that will make
Is offering presentable? Wow. For me, that was that means that our mind can be inhabited by God. Everlasting life, eternal life does not negate science, does not stop us from using our mind to think. You know, one fault of our generation is to think that God can provide solution to everything. Once you just pray, you have problem with anything, just pray. Fast and pray without using the mind. Even if our reliance is not on the mind, we can use God to push the mind to where the mind should be. And much more in our generation, we don't like to think. Our mental capacity is not very well developed, unlike our predecessors, unlike our fathers, unlike the older generation. But that you are in this time, in this season, that you are hearing everlasting life, does not mean your intellect should be slow. Do we understand? So when we are looking at the various expressions of intellectualism in man, first of all, sources from our spirit. When intellect is ruled by the spirit, it has no limits. But there is that gate that we must be free from, that gate of brass, to say that God does intellect or intellectualism, maybe. God is not a mediocre. Inability to think is not spiritualism. Throwing our problems back to God and asking for answers without thinking is still not being spiritual. So there is intellectualism in God. And man is a being of intellect. God made us to be able to think. And that part of us must be developed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mommy. Thank you, Ma. Okay, I actually forgot to introduce myself. And okay, my name is Temitope Abdurrahman. And, you know, anchoring this show with me is
Olakemi Davis.
Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you. Okay, so we would just like to, furtherly ask.
Thank you so much, Pastor. There's one thing Daddy said some time ago. Like, yes, we should wait on the Lord when we need to do things. It's actually what we should do. But sometimes it's needed that you take steps in some things and the Lord comes and breathe on it. Like, okay, and maybe say something around it. So it's just a lazy mindset that makes us say, we're waiting on the Lord, we're waiting on the Lord. I have an auntie that says she's praying about a business, and they gave her what to do, but yeah, she said the Lord says she should not do it, and you are lacking in many things. So that's what people fail to understand. So we say thank you very much once again, Pastor. So to further answer that, so I want to ask Pastor Festus, does the gospel negate intellectualism? Seeing that there are people out there that keep saying things around, maybe they bring the Lord in to cover up for their own laziness. So does the gospel negate intellectualism, sir? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, moderators. Good morning, Pastor Lydia. Good morning. Omiuche, good morning. I want to say good morning to Daddy. And also Pastor Dimeji, good morning, sir. It's a very beautiful discourse that we are considering this morning. One thing that stood out for me during the teaching, intellectual powers, our relationship with all these things, is that God wants us to have a balance. And God wants us to have a kind of an understanding. You know, Daddy said during one of the teachings that the church must have a kind of understanding so that we will not maintain an extreme. And where we are not annexing, or we are not enjoying, or we are not participating, or we are not involved, you know, in what God is doing. You know, if we look back at the church, when we look at Kenneth Hagin, you know, that's one of the blessings that God gave to the church. The church has once fallen into these things that we are saying. You know, that's what bettered the writings that he wrote in his days, like being led by the Spirit of God, how to be led, because there are some ways or some kind of understanding people had about being led by the Spirit of God. You know, when you are looking at the book of Midas Touch, you know, he was writing to people about the balance between riches and poverty in the church, because some people were flaunting their poverty and they felt they are on their way to heaven. And why some people also were like the wealthy ones, we are the one there. We are the one who was maintaining them. So most of the writings are the church can actually, it's not about here or there. It's about a balance. It's about how we can be prophetic, because the church is expected to be a prophetic people on the face of the earth, knowing what the will of God is per time. The scripture has never for once against intellectualism. So let's put it straight like that. So, but the scripture, just like we used to say in the house, the gospel does not negate creation. You get what I'm trying to say? But the gospel wants to bring beauty to it. You get now? So as mommy was saying the other time, that man can be ruled from spirit without, from inside out. Actually, man is supposed not to live by intellectualism, because that's another extreme of it. You understand now? But man must be governed by the spirit. So the intellect must subject to the spirit. But even as it were, God also needs intellect. It needs our brilliance. It needs our involvement. It needs our excellence. You understand now? Go and check the history of the Temple of Solomon. You will know how magnificent the temple was. You understand that when Queen of Sheba came and saw the array and saw, you know that God is excellent. You understand now? The Ark of Noah. There are still historical research about the Ark of Noah. You understand what I'm trying to say now? A wood that can float on the water for days without sinking. You know that quality of a wood. You get now? So there are a whole lot of invention in the scripture that are still wonder in our world today. So the scripture has never for once against intellectualism, but God wants to bring beauty to intellectualism. That's what the gospel wants to do.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you, sir. Okay. Looking at what Pastor just said, I just want to quote, you know, what our daddy taught us. He said, intellectualism without the spirit of excellence cannot express its true nature. So which means that if we have intellect and then the spirit of excellence is not there, then the beauty will not come. So thank you so much, Pastor, for that. Okay, so to Mommy Ojima, we would like to ask, what is the place of intellectualism in life expression?
Okay. Thank you very much, moderator. Good morning, Daddy. Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, Pastor Dimeji. Good morning, Pastors. And good morning, Pastor Lydia, Pastor Festus. Okay, so the question says, what is the place of intellectualism in life expression? We thank you, Ma, Pastor Lydia, and Pastor Festus, for how you have defined a man. And we have learned that man, in the sight of God, is Christ. Before a man can be seen before God, is a Christ. That's who the man is. So when we say an intellectual man, then he has been raised. So then, when we look at life expression, our life is not governed by the rules of the world. Our life is in God. Christ is our life. So how do we express this life, bearing in mind intellectualism? So we have heard from Pastor Festus that we are not to be ruled by our intellect. We are people of the spirit. So an intellectual man in the sight of God is the one that fetches wisdom of the spirit to live. So we, you know, when we define those things, we have borders. We don't, there's a way an unbeliever would define intellectualism, and then we begin to talk about brilliance, brightness, intelligence, excellence, diligence, critical thinking, analytical thinking, approach to problem. You enter a place, you have like a multidimensional view of a thing. When they throw a topic to you, you already begin to view it from different angles. But now, when we talk among ourselves, we talk within the borders of the spirit. So our intellect is fetched from the spirit, first of all. So that's what I'm trying to establish. And then having established that, we know that our life expression should flow to bless. So an intellectual man, the various expression has already been said, is okay, amongst our brethren, for instance, you enter, I remember sometimes when we're in the gathering, we're discussing, okay, what are the issues, and the functional members, and then somebody presented a problem, and daddy's response was, what is the solution? You understand? That's, okay, you see a problem, and you already begin to task your mind, having defined that border of the spirit. Okay? So, our life expression, we have the feminine way, a life expression, the feminine way. So, when we say life expression, we are, it is who we are. How do we express this life in every way we touch? Now, let's go to the arena of our places of work, for instance. That's how we can, where we can express life. Okay, in our neighborhood, that's where we can express life. So the question is the place of intellectualism. I would say that's the place of the spirit, right? In life expression, because it's God that defines intellect, really. The scripture says, what do you have that has not been given? So some people are naturally expressive when it comes to that. I have in my place of work, for instance, someone that once you mention a topic, she begins to deliver this. Let's read this way. Before you know it, almost like five sentences, five ways, approaches, yes, have come in. You understand? And that appears like, okay, if she thinks like this, I as a person of the spirit can do much, can do better. Why? Because the spirit understands the situation where you are in and is able to drive your mind. So when we say the place of intellectualism, we have defined the place of the spirit. We are first of all a being of the spirit that has a soul and we live in a body. So laziness is not our thing. Diligence is our watchword. We don't hide under the cloak of spirits, like Pastor already said, and say we are praying about it. At work, I'm sorry to give this example. A challenge was thrown at me. I have a colleague that is way down. I'm not able to provide a physical solution to his problem. But I felt within my daddy has taught us. You should not be in a place where there's a problem and you are down with it. You should put demand on your spirit. How do I engage this? There's, you know, when there's a problem, there's a way it has to be addressed. Right? So I engage in prayers. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. At a point, we prayed to some point and I said, by now, I should begin to start having insights into what should we do. We have prayed for over a while now. By now, I should begin to have insight. You understand? So nothing was coming through, I felt discouraged. But I said, no, we have to know what to do at this point. You understand? So when it comes to intellectualism and life expression, is multidimensional. Just like a spirit, is a wind. You do not know where it goes or where. So in any situation we are, in any place where we find ourselves, we should be able to express that soundness. The Bible says that we did not receive the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound. Being a believer, we must bear that sound mind everywhere we go. You understand? And I'm sorry if my time is, please signal if I'm taking too much time. So please, I like to say that kingdoms, like daddy has taught us, they look for intellectual men. Kingdoms cannot thrive without intellect. You understand? And I see kings, when you say kings, at our places of work, our bosses are kings. They always look for men that around them that can, that are sound. You understand? As a professional, you offer service. Your customer is king. The customer is looking for excellence in what you do. So when we are, someone say kings, they are around us and they're looking for men of intellect. And we bear that spirit. The spirit is a force that must be seen in we believers. And men around us that are unbelievers, they should not express that sound mind more. They don't even have a sound mind. We have the spirit, and we should express that soundness of the spirit. God is not a mediocre. We should seek to be excellent in whatever we do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mommy. Okay, Mommy Ma, you mentioned about brilliance, you know, and as you were saying that, there was a thought in my mind about Muslims, sorry to mention, who, you know, some of them have, they started reading Quran from very young age, and the moment they are a bit aged, their mind is, because of the lingua around that thing, it affects their mind. And by the time they are trying to do things, there's a form of brilliance, you know, that they have. And as we're saying that, you know, I just want to ask, I noted it here, and Daddy also mentioned that brilliance should not be worshipped. Yes, so if brilliance is not to be worshipped, but acknowledged, and then what is the essence of brilliance? Mommy, Pastor Ma.
Well, we must put a distinctive line between excellence and brilliance. They are not the same. God is excellent. There was never a time when you say God is brilliant. Brilliance is an outshoot of excellence. It's true that those of those religion, they, at a young age, they put pressure on the mind to do a lot of mental work. They cram. It's cramming they do. They don't even understand what they are saying. And that's why when you meet them, you know, Daddy has always taught us that we should learn to think on the scriptures. You know, that scripture that says, come, let us reason together. Many of us, because of our background, let me tell us, in the Western Nigeria, we are not raised to think. We are raised to do what we are told to do. That is not Christ. That's not God. God wants us to reason. Yes, the scripture says, come now, let us reason together. Imagine God asking for you to sit and reason. So sometimes when you put things before God and ask questions, you are not wrong. It's just maybe the way we go about it. It's asking questions is not being defiant. When Mommy was talking, you know, what she's, let me describe what she said in another way that will get to us, is that she kept putting pressure on her spirit to find solution to an issue, which means she was praying not for the issue to go away, but the reason for prayer is that light should be given for something to be done. Prayer does not exchange our mind. Prayer is to open gates. So when you say brilliance is wonderful, but excellence is better. And the spirit that God has given us, the spirit of excellence. When you have the Holy Ghost, you should be excellent in anything you are doing. You should not. The example Pastor gave, you know, I was talking earlier about different kind of intellectualism. We have intellectualism that has to do with governance, kingdom. We have intellectualism that has to do with technology, building, creation, creating things. Bezali, the grace upon Bezali was different from the grace on Daniel. The grace on both of them was different from the grace on Joseph. But if you look at all these people, they sourced from the Spirit. That is one blockade that we have to use the gospel to remove. We must not remain where we were. You know, Daddy began to teach about that the gospel should make creation better. Nature in God is not carnality. Nature is different from being carnal. If you pursue brilliance, you become more carnal. But if you pursue excellence, you tend towards the spirit more. There's a thin line between allowing the spirit and being lazy. Waiting on God is not aimless. Imagine a brother who feels in his heart, this is the sister I should get married to. And you are praying that God should make it happen. You did not tell your pastor. You did not tell your brother. Another brother will marry her right in your front like this. In your two koro koro. Now, when we say the friendship we teach in the house is a kind of excellent life. Because if you are a friend in this assembly now, we are beyond 50, we are beyond 100. In the 100 people, you can't find 5 people who will be your covenant friends. If you can find 5 people who are your covenant friends, life will be easier for you. It's excellence. God, the gospel pushes excellence in everything. Jesus was excellent, sir. And in excellence, you see brilliance. In excellence, you see brilliance. Are you a student? You are not using the Holy Ghost to read. You are not excellent. Then you are not brilliant. You may be brilliant, but you may not be excellent. The devil was brilliant. Yes, he was very brilliant. He has brightness. But he was not excellent because he refused to acknowledge his source. He cut off from his source. So our source is spirit. When we use spirit well, let me tell us, most of our children, they are doing well in school. Not because they are so bright in their minds, but if you teach them to start putting pressure on their spirit, they become more excellent. They have stability. What moves their mates will not move them. So excellence is not only mental, it's whole lifestyle. Thank you. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you so much, ma'am. If you observe so around, like, okay, let's even use our community. For example, all our pastors, the pastors overseering all the churches, Reverend Busui, Reverend Kayode Oyogoke, Pastor Dimeji, they are brilliant men. They are excellent men. And it should be telling us something. God doesn't just choose anyhow people to lead his work. So for example, Daddy talked in one time, a very long time ago. He said, for Jesus, for the 5,000 people and more that Jesus fed, he had to climb the mountain top to speak. Because the wind carries sound. Wind carries sound. That's in an excellent mind. Because if it stays down, that preaching will not reach all of them. So that's a place of intellect and spirit, how the spirit breathes on your intellect. So we say, thank you very much, Pastor. That was really beautiful. Thank you so much, ma. So, Pastor Festus, Daddy has taught us on social power, and he has taught us on intellectual power. And our topic today is actually harnessing social power for life expression in an intellectually driven world. So I want to ask, so how relevant is social power in life expression that it answers the need for intellectualism?
Thank you so much. I want to appreciate Daddy once more for such a topic in times like this, for great understanding that he's done in his research, great research work. You know, Daddy is such a beautiful father to us. Sometimes when Daddy is ministering, Daddy talks about geology. I was saying, Daddy studied geology. And there was a time that Daddy was ministering, he mentioned something in law. And after the message, I have to go and meet Daddy. I said, Daddy, have you read the book, Expirate the Law? And Daddy was talking purely about law. And I was wondering, you know, we now know that mind is blessed. That's the spirit mind, you know. One thing I want to say is that we are social beings. There is nobody that is born isolated. And that is why God made us in families, clan, groups, society, community. There is no way that you can be alone in the world. Except you just choose that, okay, I want to be on my own. But God did not create it like that. There is a way the whole life is intertwined, is related. Even when Adam was created in the garden, the Lord still has to make Eve for her to complement, you know. And that tells us that we need one another. And we can't function in isolation. So that is why there is a need for us. When we come to meetings like this and the Lord is telling us about friendship, most of the time when God is speaking to us like this, we felt it is God that will benefit. Most of these things are for us. We are the first beneficiary. We are the first partaker. When we are talking about righteousness, they are all forces of life that can help us as we sojourn our way through life. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So we are the first recipient of God's blessing. And one thing we must know about social power is that we're in a season the Lord wants connectivity. You understand what I'm trying to say? We want connectivity. The Lord wants bonding together. We can't fulfill God's mandate or agenda upon the face of the earth if we are in isolation. We have to be we. Most of the time, you see, even Paul in the scripture, we use we. And we know. We do this. We know that. You know, it has to do with a company of a people that are pursuing the same cause. So one of the things the topic was telling me is that we need to work on relationship. You understand? We are in a season that we cannot just afford to play with relationship or to downplay relationship or to talk down on relationship. You need your brother. You need your sister. You need your pastor. You need brethren around you. You even need your wife, because you can be in a marriage and yet you are not feeling that God's social connection and interaction. You can just be a roommate and you are not a couple. You are not joined and bonded together. You get that? So the whole topic is why for us. The Lord has made provisions for us to come into in this season. Singles rendezvous. That's why we are here. You understand now? So that we rendezvous everything together. When we are talking with feasts of charity. Charity, you can only one person cannot do feast now. So we are talking about feast here. It's talking about company of the people. So that is what we are seeing, that the Lord wants to have next a great number of us in this season that we are in. Then intellectualism can have its proper place. Can sit well if these things are connected, are together. I feel that's what I want to say.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you very much. I think, like, what you said now and what Mommy OJ said, you know, there's a difference when the people outside there express intellectualism and they do teamwork and everything. Sometimes you may want your own ideas to run over another person's own. I believe this is where we in this place stand out. It's separate because, like Pastor said, we need one another. So even if you are very brilliant and you are excellent, if you bring an idea and another person brings up an idea, you can let your own go, or you can even collaborate together in sincerity and purity of heart. And you see that life is just expressed. And people out there just see that, wow, this is different from us. And it attracts people. Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Pastor. Okay. Pastor wants to add something. Thank you, ma.
Thank you, Pastor Festus. I just wanted to read, can you give me that scripture in Exodus on Bezalel? Even if the Lord was pushing out brilliance or wisdom there, he put it in the company of people. Socialism is company. It's togetherness, it's community. Intellectualism, if it does not have, if it's not sourced from the Spirit, to make you become more isolated. Because we don't have the same measure of grace in intellectualism. Eh? If you want to compete with our Pastor James, if you want to compare your brain with his brain, you go tire. If you look at Pastor Alfred sometimes, if you want to, you will just feel as if God did not do you well. But sincerely, that's why he has set us in families. He set the solitary in families. You can be more blessed because you have missed us. So you want to do a business, open it up. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Or, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. There's a place where he talked about him and a company of other people. Oh yeah, give me the next verse. Okay, the next one. The next. All right. And behold, I have given him with him a holy app. You need teamwork. You need teamwork. When God himself wanted to create, he said, come, let us Let us make man. It does not say I will make man. God doesn't work in isolation. Intellectualism tends more towards individualism. Socialism is what can make intellectualism to be well harnessed. Satan can rob you if you stay alone. Can easily rob you. That's what I wanted to... Yes, yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, mommy. Yes, so this means that, you know, as we pursuing after charity, we know that we must not look at ourselves. Yes, so if we are not seeking for ourselves, we are not projecting ourselves, then we should esteem others. Yes, so that means we the essence of our intellect, you know, togetherness, is to help others. Yes, so if one is better than me, then I am better too. Yes, so we are. If we are together and one is doing well, we are all doing well. That is the mindset. So thank you very much, mommy. So actually, to buttress that, we would like to ask further, what is the value system of a charity man for socialism? From mommy OJ. Yes.
Thank you very much. Yes.
What is the value system of a charity man for socialism over intellectualism?
Okay. I think it's just to buttress further, and I'll appreciate. Please, let's put our hands together again for Pastor Lydia, Pastor Festus. Thank you very much. I would have loved that you answered it, but don't worry. Let me just answer. I'm sure you still bring up things to add up. So, a charity man. A charity man is a man that has been sealed by Christ. He has. So can we just go to that place in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13? Let's start from verse 4. So we begin to see the value system of a charity man now. What does a charity man hold high? That's value. What does it value? A charity man suffers long. Daddy has taught us. You cannot suffer long with yourself, right? I'm suffering long with myself. I'm bearing myself. You have to bear with your brethren. So that is socialism. You are in the midst of the brethren. You are with your husband. You are with your wife. I remember Pastor Tosin saying yesterday that even children now, you need to begin to learn how to be with your child and not be overboard and not scream, this child is getting at me. It's a learning. So if you can handle a child that has lots of, and you are not out of your mind, you know that you have been helped. Let's drive it home. Let's begin to see how, whatever. So even from there, can I know that I'm an intellectual man? God has helped me that I can stay with this child. From yesterday, my husband was with our son, and to this morning, he's like, "Whoa, please, just you understand." When you can stay with a 2-year, 3-year-old that does not care about, you'll be a doctor, you're just let us come and dabi ru and clean. You understand? A charity man. God is building, you know, so the whole of this teaching is still about the value system of a charity man. The next thing is kind. We do not have understanding of these things except the teachers. We came from somewhere with an understanding, but we are beginning to know the true definitions of these things now. What does it mean to be kind? If he envied not. If you meet an unbeliever, he will tell you, I'm on my own, you are on your own, I don't envy people's thing. But that's not the envy not that they are talking about. It is in the midst of your brethren that you will know if you are truly being built, not to envy. It vaunted not, that is not boastful, it's not puffed up. There's this place in the scripture that says knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. You understand? So, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So they say, if they bear our minds now, and they say, okay, let them be reading what is in my mind now. Or, not even now, I'm in the presence of the brethren, I may not be thinking. In the past 10 minutes, let them just bear what I thought. Did I think evil? Did I not think evil? We don't even know what it means to think evil until they explain it. You understand? So he rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth not in the truth. Rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things. We now begin to go into the place of God, all things of God. Opeth all things, endureth all things. You understand? See that the value system of a charity man that will definitely not step on toes to express intellectualism. So you understand? So while you know you have it, there's a place in the scripture that says, what do you have that has not been given to you? There is nothing that a man has. So when you know you have it, and yet you are able to temper it, you understand? Bearing in mind your brother, bearing in mind your sister, and yet does not still douse that expression, then you are a charity man. You understand? Thank you very much. I believe our pastors will have more to add.
So do you want to say something?
It's only in charity that true intellectualism can be expressed. Intellectualism actually can find better expression when we use charity. Our minds, the Lord gives us our minds with a mind of us complementing one another. Most times God pairs us or yokes us with brothers and sisters who will complement us. We do not talk about intellectualism to compete. We talk about intellectualism to, in charity, we use like Bro Tope said, we use intellectualism in charity to better another. So I may know how your business will do better, and I give you a light to how your business can be better. I should be minded that if your business is suffering, it's our business. I should be minded you are beginning. I should have something to add. If I don't have cash, I should have kind. And kind can come in different ways. Some of us have body strength. Physical strength more than others. That your physical strength is not to show that you can, is to be of help to the one who may not have as much strength as you. So charity is what gives beauty to intellectualism. If we will do well in our social formation, in our intellectual formation, charity is what we give the light, is what we give the sweet flavor. That at the end of the day, flesh will not be corrupting us, the world will not be corrupting us. At the end of the day, by the time they are true with us, we'll be sweet to God. We'll be finer. We'll come out better. Like Daddy, we always say, there is always a better form of our being. And our better is in the better covenant, is in Christ. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor. I just want Pastor Festus to help us with this question. Okay, now, I don't have it all on my own. I can't think it all. Sometimes we have to meet our pastors even on some matters to borrow sense where we lack sense. Okay, now you're working with somebody that doesn't care about pastors. We're all here and want to do charity. And maybe you're this kind of firm person too. And you're working with the person. And you have borrowed sense. You have presented the matter before Daddy. And Daddy has given, okay, what you said was okay. And that is okay with it. And we added things to it. Okay, go and do it this way. And now the person you are working with said, no, I have another idea. This is what I feel. This is what I think we should do. It will bring out this. It will bring out this. And how do you, would you, as a charity man, manage that person such that you don't negate that law? And you are still using, like harnessing that social power and everything. So, Pastor, I don't know if you can help me. I don't know if the question is clear.
It's clear, and it's still not clear too. Hallelujah. It's a two-way thing. The person may be a member of the church, and the person, that's the non-consenting person, may be your member, and he may be outsider. You get what I'm trying to say? There are sometimes some people in the church, it's not everybody that believes what the pastor said. Or it's not everybody that sees to what the leadership is saying. You get now? Or the person we are talking about, maybe your colleague at work and stuff like that. But one thing I begin to see in all of those things is we must learn to wait. You get what I'm trying to say? That you must learn to wait for people to emerge or to evolve. You get now? That is one thing that charity suffered it long. There are some instances where you will suffer long, where you have to delay until the person is able to see. Yeah, and sometimes the Lord may even allow you to go on, to carry on with his own thing that he has. So that sometimes the Lord allows some people to fail so that he will come back to acknowledge. You get what I'm trying to say now? To go on with his plan and do stuff like that. So we are not to impose or to say, no, by fire, by force, you must take my own, because pastor has said this thing, you must take it over Bonnie and everybody. You know, there are some people like that, you know, by you must. So it's not a matter of must. So it's a matter of learning to wait. And one thing we do in those season two matters, you get like, you have to engage. That's the person consenting now. Seeing to the leadership, believing the leadership. It takes process for him to also come into that state too. It's not that he came to that state one day to where he believed the leadership. It takes what the leadership is also saying. It takes time. He pays his own price too. So what I'm trying to say is that he has to pray. He has to wait for, let me say, the salvation of the other person. You get what I'm trying to say? That's what engaging also does. You have to commit the person to prayer, looking at the way, the manner. You know, Daddy was talking about looking at things from the righteous perspective. What God will do is like praying for the person, waiting on the Lord, looking at the best time to speak to the person, you know, not being forceful, not enforcing your, that's what I feel that we can also be done in that regards. I don't know if Mommy Lydia is there.
You know, what just came to heart is, most times, this description that Stakemi asked, it could sound as if it's easy, if it's a business partnership. If business does not work, everybody will go to their house, Abi. But what if the other person who is not consenting is your spouse? What if is your spouse? It's not that this person is not under leadership, but just feels that on this matter, I feel we should do it this way. I am not against pastors. This thing is clear, it's plain. You know, there are some times that pastor said it does not mean it's clear. It takes faith to obey leadership most of the times. And you, maybe because you are relying on faith, if my pastor says it, even if it doesn't work, I know I've obeyed because of an existing understanding. But somebody feels that we don't need to fail because we want to obey pastor. Are you getting that? So how do you walk in charity towards such a person? What pastor said is key, because the end point is that Christ is exalted in this matter. It's not who is right or who is wrong. It's the formation taking place in the process. Many times, our result is not what we get. We must put more credence on who we become or what we become. Because what God wants is not that your business will prosper. It's in the process of using you to raise a business. It's also raising your soul. Yes, what is the gain of God in David shepherding sheep? It is that David became a shepherd in his heart. It's not the lamb that he saved from the mouth of the lion that was the highlight. To God, God raised someone through that. So let's put more attention on our being than momentary results. If you scatter that relationship, what you can do, you can go back to pastor. If your pastor is matured, your pastor may not even come into the issue, but may tell you to wait for this your brother. Be patient for this your sister. This your husband that is stubborn. You know, most times it's easier for the wives to come under pastors than the husbands. God is not angry with that. Because a man wants to rule. And God made him like that. That your husband does not go and ask pastor for every little thing. Don't say he's not under authority. Wait for him. Wait for him. Keep laboring in prayer for him
to have open understanding to what, you know, sometimes when you come and tell your husband what pastor said, that it is coming from you, makes him not want to do it. I don't know what is that in about man. So it's not wise for you to go and tell your husband that pastor said. No, it's better you go and meet your pastor. My husband wants to do this. Can you find a way to talk to him? Other than going to tell your husband that you are not under authority. You are not also working in charity. Daddy has told us before that it's possible to marry somebody who is mentally lower than you. Who you are more brilliant than. Who takes decision. What are sisters? Who, if you write the same exam, you will pass way more than him. And you still have to submit to him in decision making. In fact, all your friends think you are right. Your pastor thinks you are right, but your husband is not yet taking the decision. You will still have to wait. Your own making is in your waiting. And not wait like he's wasting time. No. That's rude. That is still not charity. In partnership, trying to exalt Jesus, ourselves we must not use ourselves to exalt Jesus. You see that? This is what we should do. It's important that the first thing is that charity suffers long. And in that suffering, he's kind. So let's labor on this thing. Socialism will be better. Or socialism, you know, there are some philosophers who believe in socialism. Without Christ, it will still not achieve what it should achieve. Intellectualism is capitalism too. That's the source of capitalism. None of this is the light. Charity is what makes socialism and intellectualism what they should be. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Moni. It is clear that our priority must be on becoming. So the moment our priority is on becoming, you know, every other thing falls in the right place. Okay, so as Pastor was talking, there's a scripture that jumped to mind, and I would still like to direct it to us. Okay, so and Philippians 2 from verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Yeah, so the question in mind is, you know, I think Pastor was talking about the place of we knowing how to do teamwork. I think it was Mommy that was saying that with a charity mind. You know, so I just want Mommy to explain the place of service, you know, serving one another with our intellectualism, even while socializing.
If I understand you, using our intellect to be of service, okay, it's very simple. There is a scripture that has really helped me, that Jesus, what Jesus was saying, anything your hand finds to do, do it well. Do it to the Lord. There was a translation I used at that point when I was still very much younger, before I came to this light and stayed on King James. He said, that which your hand has found to do, do it well. Like we said, intellectualism is not brightness in the mind, which is sourced on, or that which is where intellectualism is built, does not cut across everybody the same way. Our IQ is not the same. Like I said earlier, we can't have the same measure of brilliance, the same measure of intellectual development. Some people are more graphic in their minds. Some people, their minds are very analytical. They can take deep thoughts. It may not even be because of how they were raised. They are just naturally like that. Some people, before you, okay, let me give this example. Pastor Larry, I learned his study. The day I learned that in school he studied them, he's science-based. I was alarmed because for me, who is art-based, he's so artistic. In his, he's not the only songwriter we know, but he's highly artistic. I could pick his song and do literary analysis. Very strong poetic strength. Rhyme, mid-rhyme, end-rhyme, repetitive like that. That is... it's too much for me. It should not be in science. There's nothing he's looking for in science. So, but you see, that is somebody who has used his intellect to serve. So what the Lord has blessed you with, some of you, mathematics is like you are chewing gum. It's like you are licking sweets. When you see numbers, you rejoice. There is one joy. I am not like that at all. In fact, when I see numbers, I'm sad. I'm not happy. Life is not beautiful. Life is drab with numbers. For some of us, and God, you know, that has taught us that God made those things gives us different. It's as if made us so many like that. Some people, when they combine, when you are thinking of it, it's rubbish. But if they take the same number of things you were thinking of combining, the way they will do it, it will be so beautiful. So, service makes our intellectualism to tend towards socialism. I'll repeat myself. It is in service that they use our intellectualism and bury it into socialism. And that is where charity law can truly be expressed. Like we said, Daddy said, you can't do charity to yourself. You can't do charity to God. You can't be charitable towards God. You can't be charitable towards yourself. When they are talking about charity, it's amongst brethren, it's around us. So when so your question now, intellect, social, then service. No, there's nobody who does not have intellectualism. Let's talk about, let me make that clear. Even if yours is not so sharp, now, there is something you have that is sharper than another person that God gave. God gave all of us like that. And God did not make one person to be all round in everything. And that is where our togetherness comes into the real need. Our intellectualism should be used for service. Our intellectualism should be used for service. Our charity law should be used in service. Everything we are learning now, we'll go and use it to serve our brother. So that you can do research work very well. Even if you do for outsiders, if you are collecting 100% from outsiders, if you want to do it for brethren, you can cut it by 50%. You can, with charity, you want to cut it by 50%, by 25%, you put the charity law to use now amidst the brethren. And when somebody is doing that to you, say, this is how I do it for people outside, but because you are my brother, this is how I'm. Don't say, can you not do it for me for free? You are a thief. Some of us, because of brethren, you want to annex everything from brethren without giving anything back. You are a thief. You are not also in charity. Charity is to say, this is how much you can do it. If you don't have the money, say, okay, I don't have the money, I'll come back. I don't want to overflog it. I think it's clear. Charity is the law that can harness intellectualism and socialism. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much, Mommy Uji. Thank you so much, Pastor Festus. We have come to the end of the session. Just... okay,
I believe, Pastor, if I ask, this is service, right?
Yes.
All of this is service. And it was done by our own dear Pastor Alfred. That's an intellectual mind. Intellectualism in the place of service. So I believe we picked one thing or the other from this session this morning. So just to round off, Pastor, one word. Mommy Uje, one word. And Pastor Festus, one word. Thank you, ma'am.
My one word still remains. Everything we have learned here, let's go and use it for the brethren. Everything. Don't leave anything behind. And you will find strength in faith. Amen.
Thank you, ma. Well, I'll say, discern what you have and use it to serve.
Just like mommy said, in carrying out these things, sometimes we may fail, we may cry, but let's keep on. It is in exercise that we become skillful. Yes.
Thank you so much. I remain Olakemi Davis.
Temitope Abdurrahman. Thank you so much. Next time.